Chapter 11. After leaving Nance's apartment, Lexi checked in with Cassie at the bakery and helped her close up shop before heading home to dinner with Jack. She was eager to compare notes about the case with him, especially after the ladies had uncovered a few clues that the police might not have stumbled upon. As usual, Sprinkles greeted her at the door with exuberant energy. Her newly polished pink nails clicked on the hardwood floor as she danced at Lexi's feet. Lexi scooped her up, suffered through a barrage of slobbery dog kisses, and carried her into the kitchen, where Jack was elbow deep in marinara sauce. The air smelled of garlic and baking cheese, and despite the BLT earlier, Lexi's stomach growled. She put Sprinkles down and wrapped her arms around Jack's waist from behind. "Hey, baby, I'm home." He gave her a quick kiss over his shoulder, then went back to stirring his pot of sauce.
"How'd the investigation go today? Did Nance and the ladies uncover anything useful?"
"It went pretty well. It was so nice, the two of them, working together on a case, instead of Jack always admonishing her about investigating with Nance or telling her to stay out of it. Still, she didn't want him to think the ladies had gotten carried away and were taking over for the police, so she held back a bit on the enthusiasm." She picked a lettuce leaf out of the salad bowl and nibbled nonchalantly as she continued her answer. "We went to the retirement center and talked to a couple people, and then asked Betty a couple of questions when I went to pick up Sprinkles, because she was at the party too. Oh, and we went to the hotel to talk to Chandler Bennington."
"Wow, you did have a busy day."
The timer went off, and he picked up the pot of boiling pasta and dumped it into a colander in the sink. Steam rose between them.
"So, what did Bennington have to say for himself?"
"He acted a little suspicious." Lexi opened drawers and cabinets as she spoke, gathering plates and flatware to set the table. "He was very cagey when Nance asked him about his books, and he kept hiding his hands. I wanted to see if they had blueberry stains from the pies. I remembered you said you thought the killer was looking for something in them."
"Good thinking, honey."
Jack returned the drained pasta to the pot before adding the homemade sauce.
"What else did you hear?"
"Let's see. It turns out Helen was cheating on her low-carb diet by sneaking pie crusts to eat, because she didn't want the woman who's in charge of their fitness plan to find out. She ended up hiding in a bathroom stall to eat them. But it turns out that helped us, because that's where she overheard a conversation between Vera Masterson and Anne O'Neill about a fight Lorelei Summers had with Chandler Bennington."
"Lord save me from women and their diets."
Jack rolled his eyes and grinned as he took the garlic bread from the oven.
"What did Lorelei and Chandler fight about?"
"Gossip had it that she wanted him to sign some of his books that she had in her antique shop, but he refused."
"Interesting."
He used the tongs to transfer the pasta from the pot into a colorful Italian pottery bowl, then plopped slices of garlic bread into the bread basket and brought it all to the table. They took seats across from each other, and Lexi poured them each a glass of Cabernet. Jack tucked his napkin into the neck of his shirt and asked,
"Anything else?"
Lexi could barely keep the smile from her face. She was sure Jack didn't know about the valuable book. If he'd had an interesting clue like that, he would have already mentioned it. The book clue could crack the case wide open, and while she didn't want to seem as if she were trying to show him up, she was somewhat proud that she and the ladies had uncovered a clue the police might have missed. "We found out that another copy of the same book Mary was giving away as a prize in the pie-eating contest
sold on eBay a few weeks ago for $10,000. That would certainly give Lorelai ideas about making a small fortune if she'd found the same information online that we did. Lexi took a sip of the rich, fruity wine. By the way, did you take the book into evidence? If you did, you might want to make sure it's locked up.
Book? We didn't take any book,
Jack said around a bite of food.
I don't remember seeing one at the crime scene.
Jack's brows mashed together, and Lexi could tell he was processing what she just told him.
No one we talked to mentioned anything about a valuable book. Are you sure the one that sold on eBay is the same one that was being given as a prize?
Yep.
And you guys didn't scour the senior center for it?
Not yet. We need to go back and do that. Mary kept it locked in the safe. We're hoping Sylvia will unlock it to see if it's still there.
Lexi made a mental note.
Jack raised a brow but didn't say anything. She figured he was making the same mental note. They chewed in silence for a few minutes. Then Lexi remembered something else.
I meant to ask if you guys questioned the bartender at the party.
We're trying to confirm that Chandler Bennington was at the bar the entire time, just before I found Mary's body in the pie room.
Of course we did. We have a protocol that we follow, and that includes methodical questioning of everyone who was there. You guys should try it sometime.
Jack tempered his sarcasm with an indulgent smile.
The bartender thinks he remembers Chandler Bennington being there the whole time, but couldn't swear to it. Apparently, the bar was pretty busy that night.
Lexi dug into her supper. The sauce was just the right mix of salty, spicy, and sweet, and the crunchy bread was to die for, as usual. They ate for a while in companionable silence, while Sprinkles sat vigil near their feet, poised and ready to snatch anything that dropped. Finally, Lexi sat back, took a sip of wine, and continued the conversation.
So, I told you what we discovered. What did you find out today?
Well, we didn't find anything in your pies.
He winked at her over his wine glass.
But now, given what you just told me, I'm thinking our first theory might be wrong. We were originally thinking maybe a ring or earring or cufflink flew off when the killer was bludgeoning Mary. We still don't have a solid motive for anyone to want her dead. But if the motive was the book all along, and the book was locked up, as you say, then maybe it was the key that fell into the pie, and that's what the killer was looking for.
That makes sense. He followed Mary into the room, and they fought over the key. He clonked her, it flew into the pie, then he grabbed the key, got the book, and ran out. But that still leaves the question of where the book is now. And there are other possible angles.
Like what?
Lexi forked up a grape tomato and popped it into her mouth.
We talked to Howard Archer today, you know, to give our condolences. Anyway, several people at the party saw Howard carrying a present for Mary. And when we went to his house, I saw the discarded wrapping paper in the trash in his pantry. But when we asked him about it, he denied ever having a gift for his wife.
We talked to Howard today, too. He seemed quite distraught about Mary's death. He said he was in the poker game at the time,
Jack said. Lexi nodded. There were also witnesses who said that Mary and Chandler had an argument at the party. He wanted to see her copy of his book, and she refused to show it to him, saying there wasn't time.
Chandler did mention something about them not letting him see the book.
Jack got up to get a second serving. Lexi declined more food. She was stuffed. He continued,
"Sounds like they told us the same things, but it might not hurt to bring them in again to ask about the book and push them on their alibis."
"Better hurry," Lexi said, pouring herself more wine. "Chandler said he was leaving town in the morning."
"We'll see about that."
Jack pulled out his cell phone and made a quick call to the station, asking them to send out an officer to inform Bennington that he was a person of interest in the case and that he wasn't allowed to leave Brook Ridge until the investigation into Mary Archer's death was completed. After he ended the call, he plunked his phone down on the table and grinned at Lexi.
"Anything else you haven't told me yet, Sherlock?"
Lexi laughed. "No. But be sure to ask Chandler about the hallway situation when you bring him in. That's why the bartender's account is important, to see if he can place Chandler at the bar at the time of Mary's murder." "Chandler said no one went down the hallway after Helen did, including Howard Archer. And before that, Helen was in the kitchen and didn't see anyone, so she's out as a witness. But a few people saw Howard with a gift, and Sylvia swears she saw Howard near the offices. So, how did he get there without Chandler seeing him? And what happened to that gift?"
"Good questions."
Jack shrugged, not looking up from his food.
"Did you ever think that maybe the gift wasn't for Mary?"
"Ida did." Lexi watched him over the rim of her glass. "But with Helen in the kitchen and Chandler at the bar, how did the killer get out of the pie room without being noticed?" Jack glanced up at Lexi, and she braced herself. He had that look in his eye. It was the look that came right before he told her to leave the investigating to the police. But this time, he didn't say that. Instead, his eyes softened and he said,
"I want you to promise me one thing."
"What?"
"You'll keep me filled in on what you find. And don't go confronting any suspects on your own."
"Okay." Lexi could see that Jack was genuinely concerned for her. She could hardly blame him for that. Besides, he hadn't forbidden her from investigating, and she'd take that as a victory. Jack smiled.
"That's my girl."
"So, what do you think was the real motive? To get Mary out of the way? Or to get this supposedly valuable book?" Lexi sighed and sipped more wine. "I don't know. But I can say one thing. Someone we've talked to is lying."
"When it comes to murder, honey,"
Jack said, wiping his mouth and then rising to clear the plates,
"someone usually is."